It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Vanity Show, episode 2.5B.
Still coming at you live from the Eaton Conference.
Yeah, and okay, so Jen is drunk.
And Duke is tired.
Which is almost the same thing. So, because I feel drunk. I'm pretty tired. Jen had like...
Nine glasses of wine? Specifically. I mean, I at least can keep track of the amount of alcohol I've consumed over the course of an evening.
In about 30 minutes.
That's not true.
Yeah, she's been drinking a lot.
I don't know what it is about literary conferences, but they just inspire you to get horribly drunk.
Yeah, don't flap that around.
I'm sorry.
Pick that up, jerk.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So, today was day two of the Eaton Science Fiction Conference in Riverside, California, which was, I think, even more enjoyable than day one in some ways.
Well, especially for you, because you got to watch me twist in the wind.
And I got to get drunk.
And watch me twist in the wind.
Right, that too.
Yeah.
So, we're going to start with the beginning of our day. We woke up ridiculously early.
Yeah, it was not good.
That was not good. But the first section was honestly one of my favorites because I got to kind of psychomantically, you know, is that even a real word? I'm drunk, so I don't
Whatever.
Remember what words are.
We're English people. We can make up shit. Well, because Shavira
was
there.
Shavira was there. And the first section that we went to today was neocolonialism, global capitalism, and monstrance subalterns.
Right.
And the first person who spoke was Diana Nelson, who I'm sorry I don't like. And
you've just named her now.
I named her now. I'm horrible. And she's going to send me death threats. And that's okay. She's talked about something, but I don't remember what.
Yeah, I didn't really... Why are we talking about that? Let's talk about something that actually
So then
about.
We went to Stephen Shaviro, who I adore madly. Mm. But I honestly don't remember what he talked about either.
Well, because he changed it. He wasn't talking about Splice. He said he was going to talk about Splice.
Splice,
and then
they didn't talk about Splice.
He talked about something else, and it was kind
what
of
was
all
he
deflationary.
Talking about
it was just kind of the depressingness of reality.
Yeah, she had this whole thing about that was almost hopeful, and as kind of it was an anthropological viewpoint
right.
of she works in what Brazil was it specifically Guatemala?
No, Guatemala,
which was interesting.
Right,
it was a very specifically interesting for me because it was a she talked about this whole. There was a movement at some point in time in the last few years where the Mayan peoples were... They ended up staging an uprising, but it was actually... The impetus for it was this Ponzi scheme. And it sounded to me like something that's very close to my family, the whole Mankind United, you know, crazy cult crap that my family's involved in. And in that sense, it was very interesting. And honestly, now, though, it's been a really long day, and I don't remember what Stephen talked about at all. But I love him anyway, and everybody should go read his blog at PinocchioTheory.com.
So we'll move on.
Yeah.
Up to what was our second thing we went to, which was actually the Polish SF, which didn't know much about it except for Stanisław Lem, which actually one of the panels was about Solaris and the differences in the movie adaptations and the ways in which they were like co-opted into... different sort of political ideologies.
Right, and to an extent what was the guy's name?
Greg Stone.
Greg Stone, he was actually talking about how he thought Stanislaw Lem would have directed his own film if he had made a film of Solaris. But he was talking about there were two versions of Solaris. Tarkovsky, I believe his name.
Yeah.
The Russian version, and then Soderbergh /
George Clooney
/ Cameron.
James Cameron somehow associated.
Anyway,
with it, but I don't know. All I know is George Clooney.
They also made a film. So anyway, there's two versions of Solaris, and he was
right.
talking
it's
about the
Russian
difference
version
between
and the new one. Yeah.
Between the two, and kind of the political context in which they come out of, and
yeah,
and the portions of the original story that they change and co-opt for whatever they're trying to say.
Yeah, and the other panel was by Pavel Frelick, who more or less gave an overview of Polish science fiction. So there's lots of texts that aren't translated into English, and that's come up a lot during this conference, actually.
Yeah.
The problem with translation, and that was at the keynote panel-y thingy-mabob at the end.
Right.
And that's, yeah, it just comes up at pretty much all of the panels, the issue of translation, that there are all of these texts that people are talking about, but then when you ask them, like, well, how do we get a hold of those? And they're like, well, do you speak X? And you say, no, I'm an American. We barely even speak the one language we have. So that's the real honest truth of it. But
yeah.
But so, you know, you don't get all that. We don't get to read most of it. Most of it doesn't get translated, and my fly's open. That's wonderful. It's been open for like the whole time I've been sitting here.
It was hilarious. Obviously, I don't look at Duke's balls very often because I never noticed. Anyway. Oh, what was our next? Next was Duke giving his very fine presentation on Nella Hopkinson's Midnight Robert.
Midnight Robert.
Midnight Robbers.
There's no one even
drunk.
Named Robert
sorry.
In there.
And Tobias Bukel's
Ragamuffin.
Ragamuffin.
Well, and his other novels, but mostly just focusing on that one.
And this hot Italian
awesome.
Girl gave a speech
Why
on Nella Hopkinson's
specifically about the individuals?
Robert. People might listen to this.
Okay,
whatever. Nobody listened to us.
I know. Yeah, she was quite pretty and a total nerd, so.
That was hot.
Geeky.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, Duke did a fantastic job, and it was a very interesting paper. And
yes.
You should say something about it right now.
It's good.
That doesn't count. Keep going.
It's pretty much the most brilliant thing you'll ever read.
I think I would go that far, but...
Oh, no, it is.
Why don't you talk about specifically what the paper was about?
Those books.
In 2 seconds.
That's all I can say in 2 seconds. It's about those books. The end.
Okay, 10 seconds.
You were there. Why don't you explain it?
Yeah, I wasn't actually paying any attention to what's going on. No, actually, to be honest... Your speech was one of the few that I actually woke up for your speech. I found it fantastic.
Oh, I love Patreon.
Interesting.
Patronizing me. This is good.
I'm not even patronizing you.
Yeah.
I seriously am not. Yeah. Granted, I'm drunk right now, so I don't remember anything about what it was about. I do remember that I really enjoyed it, and I was actually awake and engaged in what you were saying.
That's because I'm sexy.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just about outer space and how it's liberative of the post-colonial condition. That's the short version, but it's really complicated.
It's really funny.
And it would take me close to 15 to 20 minutes to explain it, which is what I did although I went right down to the wire.
And Nella Hopkinson was there.
Yeah, she
so
was there, and it was
very exciting.
It was exciting. It was scary for a minute, and then I was like, whatevs.
Right. And then the hot Italian girl talked more about the...
issues of body and culture.
Body and culture and home.
Yeah, stuff about home was really interesting.
And direction, which...
Yeah, she was talking about lines.
Lines. Who was the theorist in that sense?
I can't remember, but I plan to email her to talk about the
Yeah, I think you should, Robert. Because I think it would help.
Yeah, well, she's interesting, and there aren't a lot of people who are doing Nella Hopkinson studies. There were a bunch of people here... But not a lot of people that are studying Nella Hopkinson,
right.
At least in terms of her science fiction. They're just studying her in terms of other stuff. I don't know. It's very interesting. She gets attention, but she doesn't get the attention that she probably needs.
However, she will probably now get the attention that she needs because she is going to be teaching here at UC Riverside.
Yeah, we just found out she's teaching at the creative writing program, or at least she's supposed to be teaching at the creative writing program, which I am totally jealous because I'm not in California anymore.
Right. All right, what do we do
California's
next?
California's broke and can't afford to pay my tuition.
Nobody can.
Shut up. It's important.
We went to lunch next, and that was a really interesting experience. I'm totally kidding.
It wasn't that interesting.
Burger. It was a good burger, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then we came back, and this was the interesting part of our day.
Because we discovered...
The part of our day that we were probably most engaged in, even though, you know, Duke gave a speech on the Hopkins Inn.
We discovered that the Mission Inn actually has its own trolls in the dungeon. They look suspiciously
really,
like politicians.
Really not what I was referring to.
Oh, you were talking about the Glenn Beck trolls that lived in the basement?
No, they don't live in the basement. They live on the walls. And they are called the past 10 Republican presidents of the United States.
Oh, that's right, on the walls. There's literally portraits of practically all Republicans, except for Kennedy.
Slightly disturbing. Anyway, what I'm actually referring to is the next panel that we went to, which was religion and science fiction, which was fascinating. We will touch more on this subject in our future discussion of religion and science fiction.
Right, it was specifically religion, SF, and otherness.
Right. But to give a brief overview, this was, as Duke just said, religion, science fiction, and otherness, and the fact that one of the speeches was specifically dealing with the Jesuit tradition in the novels The Sparrow and Children of God
by Mary Doria Russell.
Right.
Which most of you probably have heard of if you haven't
heard of, if not read. Right, exactly. Although I really am definitely planning on reading both of them.
I have The Sparrow. I don't have the other one yet.
These are novels that specifically deal with the fact that, and they kind of incorporate the historical Jesuit experience.
It's a colonialism, specifically,
but specifically in terms of the experience of one Jesuit priest, which I can't remember the name of the now, but he dealt with the Iroquois, Huron, and Mohawk, I think it was.
Right, and he was like kidnapped a bunch of times,
and then eventually murdered, hands made useless. This is specifically in terms of the Sparrow, but really what it was is what came out in the second speech that we listened to by Toby Johnson, who hopefully we're going to kidnap and make come on the show at some point in time.
He is
actually a religious studies student
at UC Riverside,
postgraduate doctoral work. I think he's doing his doctoral work.
I think so, yeah.
On religious studies. He had a very interesting discussion in terms of treating religions respectfully in the science fiction tradition. In that, if we want to engage a broader global audience, which is specifically what this Eaton conference was about, global science fiction, if we want to engage that broader audience as science fiction writers, I shouldn't say we because I'm not a science fiction writer, but whatever, if we want to engage that audience, we need to treat their traditions with respect.
Right.
Which is, up to this point, really kind of a rare thing.
Right, and he used a lot of mostly TV examples and movie examples. We had Stargate SG-1, in which a lot of some dead religions, or mostly dead religions, and some still alive, mostly non-Judeo-Christian.
Right, non-Western, non-Judeo-Christian.
Yeah, no
right.
Abrahamic religions, except for the Muslim faith, which is also represented, and how they're represented as being sort of the evil guys.
Right, the ruled in terms of SG.
And then, of course, he had the example, which we talked to him afterwards about Magneto, about how Magneto is portrayed as being Jewish because, you know, of the Holocaust, but that actually serves no function other than the narrative of him as
persecution.
Right.
But, in terms of Magneto, I mean, this is a guy who declares he is Jewish, specifically within the movies, although it is something that is kind of a sideline narrative within the comic books, but not very common. But within the movie, it specifically aligns him with being Jewish and having suffered under the Holocaust and whatnot. But beyond that, beyond this narrative of persecution, he is not Jewish in any sense of the word.
It doesn't inform his character in any way.
It doesn't inform his character at all.
The persecution does, but that doesn't have to have been a Jewish persecution. You could have just had him been, you're persecuted because I just don't like you.
Right. So that was literally, I think, probably the most fascinating thing to me this entire weekend. The thing that I found most interesting, as an atheist, particularly for both of us, we're both of the tradition where we think it is important to treat religion with respect. Just because we do not believe what these people believe does not mean that they do not deserve our...
Fair treatment.
Fair treatment, exactly.
Right.
I think it was very important...
It's the same argument you have over, writing the other, or writing...
Right.
The character who's not from your native culture, you know. There's all these arguments in SFNF about how to do that, and how you're supposed to be respectful of that. Or not even respectful, you just should do your best to do it well. You should do your research. And what he's pointing out is that, well, basically, people don't do their research. They just either get lazy, where they just say, he's religious, and then whatever. Like with Magneto.
Right.
Or they do where the religion is a negative. It's where it's evil. And I guess one of the criticisms of Mary Doria Russell's book, The Sparrow, is that it seems to be... Or at least somebody brought up that Cheryl Morgan had critiqued the book as being, like, explicitly anti-Catholic. In a way it is, but only in the sense that it's dealing with an allegory about stuff that actually happened.
And if you actually pay attention to the tradition, it's still actually very respectful of the Catholic faith and the traditions of the Catholic Church.
Based on what we heard about
based
it, anyway.
Based on what we heard about it, anyway, because I honestly am not an expert in Catholicism and
or those particular books. We haven't read the books. But based on what we heard, because they gave us more or less a plot summary. But yes, yeah, so
right.
It's interesting.
Still very respectful, and there's more. It's a little bit more complex than just a negative sort of examination.
Right. There's a very complicated
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
But we'll probably get into that. Maybe to bring Toby on, and I know John Ottinger wants to come on. He agreed he would like to do that, and I'm not sure what we're doing for that particular... How we're going to do that episode, because I was thinking of doing it as a live episode.
Right.
And having multiple segments, but I'm not 100%, mostly because I do my thesis defense next month, and I have to turn in my final version.
So, it might not be in the next month, but at some point we
maybe
will be
having... after the 18th. Well, after the 18th, I can...
thorough discussion of religion and in science fiction.
Yeah, we want to do
just,
that.
Not just... the made-up religions, but the based in...
I want to talk about the theme of religion in general.
In general, exactly.
Not fake, real, want-to-be-real, made-up religions that people think are real now, like Scientology.
Right.
Which is not a religion.
Right.
It's a cult of demons.
It's a scientific cult. A science fiction cult. Sorry.
Oh, sure, because it's got aliens.
Cult.
Yeah.
Specifically, I mean, it's like, this is something that I'm very much rooted in, because that's essentially what my family was, grounded in for the past 800 years, was a science
fiction
cult.
Oh, yeah.
Not Scientology, but a very similar thing. So, but anyway, so then we, went to the plenary event of the evening, and, Harlan Ellison and Samuel Delaney...
Couldn't make it,
well,
but... Well, Harlan Ellison for health reasons, and I'm assuming Delaney for health reasons,
probably.
But they weren't very specific. But we know Harlan Ellison has been feeling ill.
Right.
He's already declared his death.
Exactly. But both were honored for their contribution to the science fiction world.
Yeah, and despite what people think of Harlan Ellison as being kind of a douche and a prima donna, I guess... the fact of the matter is, the guy contributed immensely, not just to science fiction, but to literature in general.
Right.
Massive amounts of material.
Mm-hmm.
So, go bite yourself.
Exactly.
The guy maybe a curmudgeon. But, and I think it's unfair to Ellison, because they focus on his curmudgeonly qualities, but only in terms of when you disagree with him. Not in terms of when you agree with him. Like, most people would agree that authors deserve to be paid, but... And he goes off on people who don't, you know, the way the industry works, and he doesn't pull any punches. And, of course, when he gets shafted by his publisher, the gopher story of how when he sent that, like, dead gopher to his publisher, that was because he was getting shafted by his publisher.
Right.
Like, they were not doing, they breached his contract, and you're not supposed to do that. And they just thought they could just bend him over and just, he would take it up at the butt. But... that's not how Alan Ellison works. So,
right.
You know, but anyway, whatever. But it's
anyway, so they honored him, and that was a good thing.
Yeah, and Sam Delaney.
Yay.
And they announced the short story winners, and...
Right.
There's a scholarship as well
board.
For
and
research.
And the translation award. I think the translation award was probably the most important.
Yeah, it wasn't announced, but we know.
Of what this Eaton Conference was about. This Eaton Conference was... very specifically about global science fiction.
Right.
Which is, so what we're about to talk about is the fact that the panel, the main panel, was China Mieville, Nala Hopkinson,
right.
Karen
Yamashita.
Yamashita, and
Isfahan Chichiri Rone Jr.
Chichiri Rone, right.
I probably said his name wrong, but what else?
These are people that are very much. Involved in the sort of global,
or presumed to be,
or presumed to be part of the global world, and it was the panel was specifically asked what their opinion of global science fiction was.
And they had very divergent takes on it, and
yeah.
Some of them weren't even sure if there was such a thing as global.
But you know, it was interesting because it was very much born in their own traditions.
Oh sure,
and in their own opinion and. Their own specialties, so
yeah, and it was very clear. You know, I mean, like Karen kept talking about how she doesn't write science fiction. She writes stuff that kind of plays with genre, but she doesn't write science fiction.
No, right.
And yet, what she talked about was precisely what global science fiction seems to be about in terms of the cities. She was talking about the cities that she travels between and their
right.
relationships to each other,
to one another, right?
Right, and this sort of global network. But yeah, and then you know, and. It was very interesting. I mean, Hopkinson talked about certain aspects, and yeah, I mean, you're like wiggling.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to find my notes.
You ate them. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, it was very interesting. And then they took questions. A lot of people talked about translation and the problem of bringing these things from elsewhere into the field. And I think pretty much we've all disagreed that we're basically effed.
We agree that we're basically apps.
Right, because there's the problem. There's a fellow that was very passionately, who's a translator, very passionately came up after we talked a bit about translation, and he very passionately said...
he deserved to get paid.
He deserves to get paid, and it's like...
which is very true.
Which makes sense, because he's putting, you know, a year and a half of his work to translate a Stanislaw Lem novel, which is difficult. You know, he puts in that much work, he can't do that for free.
No.
He's got to eat.
Which was very interesting, because China Mieville is very much... he is actually a representative of the National Socialist... I think it's called the National Socialist Party of the United Kingdom. And so he's born of this socialist tradition, of this community sort of non-payment tradition in terms of his political viewpoints. Granted, he's paid... and probably a decent amount of money, considering that he's China Mieville and has done well over the years. His books are popular on a broader
yeah.
base. And he's going... he kind of has the privilege of going, oh, I don't really care if a kid in Kiev pirates my books.
Right.
But as a translator, and I don't remember the man's the gentleman's name,
Guido
something.
Yeah. Guido something.
He does not have that privilege of going, I don't care whether or not I am paid for my work. I appreciate getting paid for my work, but it is not necessarily as China kind of said, it's not really a requirement for him producing his work.
Sure. You know, we should come back to this issue of translation.
Right.
It should be a topic we do. We should bring somebody in. We'll bring in somebody who doesn't like us.
Nobody likes us. That should be pretty
the only
easy.
Person I could think of is Jeff Vandermeer. In terms of people that are talking about translation, because he's trying to raise money for a translation fund.
But I think it's more that we don't like him as opposed to he doesn't like us.
Oh, I don't think he much cares
he
for
probably
me.
Doesn't care who we are. He probably
well, he doesn't even know who you are. But
right,
he knows
exactly.
Who I am because he...
I am meaningless.
Yes, he thinks I'm what I raise. But anyway, whatever. Yeah, so I mean, that was more or less it. And then there was a long reception and discussion and... I asked China Mieville a random question, and I'm pretty sure he's decided I am just this, like, really weird guy that hangs out.
And is obsessed with earrings.
Yeah, because I asked him why his, why he only has piercings on one side, one ear. Because it's not usual. I wouldn't say normal, but not usual. You don't
actually,
see some.
Actually, it is fairly common.
No, it's fairly common.
Men.
Maybe for like one ear.
No, amongst
piercing, but like he has six piercings.
Yes. What I'm saying is that amongst men, having only one ear pierced is actually incredibly common.
Sure, but not
in that
one
sense,
ear pierced
incredibly
six
conformist.
Times.
No, even six times.
I've never seen that.
Well, you haven't spent enough
but anyway,
time
it was just,
in Santa Cruz?
Whatever. Sorry. I didn't hang around people in Santa Cruz. It's full of hippies.
I just think you didn't look closely enough.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Point is, I asked, and it's just because he likes asymmetry.
So, yeah. I think we, over the course of this weekend, discovered a lot of things to think about.
Yes. Such as certain asymmetrical properties of my favorite authors. And had
was
a long discussion with the librarian.
Wasn't asymmetrical, though.
No, she is, though. She's got that wild hairdo.
That is very, actually,
I love
quite
that hairdo.
Symmetrical.
It's not quite symmetrical, though.
Yes,
it's, little,
it is.
It's lopsided.
No, only in terms of front and back. But the human brain
whatevs.
Sees in terms
whatevs.
Of left and right. And her
I'm just
her
saying
hair
that
is
that
very much symmetrical
that she's
left
got
right.
That unusual haircut, and I love it.
No, she's totally hot. I love her.
She's wonderful. She's a really sweet lady. So... And yeah, we're going to probably do an interview with her because...
Because it's
like
amazing
it.
That we haven't interviewed her yet.
I know, it's very odd, you know. Anyway, but point, we're rambling. We're rambling, we're getting close to 30 minutes here of rambliness. So, any other major things before we basically sign off?
Any other major things?
Because this is it. This is the last one on our eating bits.
Duke is a pimp, and I'm very proud of him for his lovely presentation today.
Stop being motherly. Jesus.
My tag literally said Jennifer Bagley, Mom.
Somebody just screamed. Did you hear that?
I did. I think they said, Mom!
Yes, they were screaming at Mom.
They didn't. So.
No. But yeah, so it was good. It was a wonderful conference. Mm-hmm. Got to meet a few people. I think next time I show up, or if I go to the SFRA or the ICFA conference, the International Conference in the Fantastic and the Arts, I'll be a little bit more open with talking with people that are in my field, because it was very, unfortunately, uncomfortable. I think this... Not uncomfortable, just felt out of place.
I just farted.
Yes, you did. Gross. And there are people screaming. What the...
All right. And I will probably go to more conferences, but
well, we're probably
going to
go to a convention.
I am a sort of marginalized figure because I am not involved in the academic literary world in the slightest bit whatsoever. Which is kind of a cool position to be in, actually.
Yeah, but we should...
Woo! Woo!
There are people screaming. Woo! All right, we're going to have to sign up. But yeah, Jenna and I are talking about going to an actual convention. Or not, yeah, you know, like a Dragon Con or maybe not Comic-Con, because I don't want to go to Comic-Con. Comic-Con sucks. But like Dragon Con, maybe, because that'll be very specific
yeah.
to our field, or we'll figure it out. But anyway, yeah, so we're, I guess, going to sign off. We're getting close to 30, so... All right, well, we will see you guys next week at Torture Cinema, is it not?
Yes, it is, and I still have not rented the particular that we were doing.
Last Airbender.
Oh, Last Airbender is coming out next
Yeah,
week.
And then we
watched
Dungeons
okay.
and Dragons after that.
Awesome. Maybe we'll show that off another week.
Yeah. So, alrighty. Okay. Well, that's it for this weekend, and we will see you guys next week with Last Airbender, and...
The week after that with something else.
Yep. And we'll be depressed because we'll be home. This is like vacation.
Totally. And it's awesome. All right, everybody. Have a fantastic week.
Yep.
Look forward to our question of the week coming out on Monday.
Yep.
As per the usual. Well, this week we have John Ottinger. Ottinger?
Ottinger.
It's Ottinger.
It's Ottinger.
No, because he's an otter, and therefore it's Ottinger.
Whatevs.
Whatever. Anyway, and he is Patrick contributing, Hester. And Patrick Hester.
And maybe some others, but I haven't got things, but there's still Sunday. But yeah.
Regardless, we will have, our question of the week is, what is your favorite convention?
Or conference experience. Yep. So we'll have some detailed stuff. So anyway, all right, we'll see you guys next week.
Yep.
Bye. Cheers.
Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.